We've entered prime vacation season with a 4th of July holiday, and we could keep our noses in the smartphone, we could keep feeding the social media beast, but why, when Petra Mayer of NPR Books has such good book recommendations for us? Welcome, Petra.
Hi, happy to be here.
I know that you've got on your list a light summer romp about murder. What would summer be without a murder mystery?
Yes, absolutely. This is Magpie Murders by Anthony Horowitz. And you might know that name because he is kind of the master of the genteel British TV crime drama. He had a hand in both Midsummer Murders and Foyle's War, which is like the go-to comfort TV for a lot of people I know. So if that is your jam, you should definitely check this out. It's about a book editor, and she has to work with a famous author of these kind of very formulaic country house cozy village kind of mysteries. And he's a weirdo, but he sells so well.
Even better.
Yeah. But he sells so well that she has to put up with him. But then she gets his latest manuscript and she's reading it, and she starts to read between the lines, and she starts to figure out that there's some subtext there that might be sinister. So it's a lot of fun. If British crime is your jam, you should definitely pick it up.
And what about for history buffs, historical novels?
Ah, yes. I've been reading The Essex Serpent by Sarah Perry. Again, this is set in the UK, in England. It's set at the end of the 19th century. It's about a woman who her domineering, oppressive husband has just died, and she is just tired of Victorian London stifling society. She's very much involved in the naturalist movements that were really big around the second half of the 19th century in England. She just wants to get out and hunt fossils on the moors or in the marshes, because she goes to Essex, to a little village in kind of marshy wetlands, and she just wants to sort of go around in nature. And there's just beautiful naturalist writing in this book, if you like. And it's a landscape that isn't normally kind of appealing, these sort of marshes and, you know, bleak, windswept, salty part of England. But she just finds so much joy in it that you go along with her. And in this area where she is looking for fossils, there's a myth of a water monster, a serpent, that was last seen in the 17th century. And now people feel like they're seeing it again. And it plays into kind of the conflicts of faith and science that were going on at that point. Do you believe in the monster? Do you not? What does it mean? It's a beautiful summer historical novel with a lot of depth to it, and just gorgeous writing.
A novel that spins off a classic literary tale is on your list. This sounds particularly interesting. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, I've been on a kick this year of reading women authors who are reworking classic literary monster myths. And so the latest one that I've read is The Strange Case of the Alchemist's Daughter by Theodora Goss. And it starts with Mary Jekyll, who is the daughter, of course, of Dr. Jekyll. And her father has disappeared. Her mother has just died. She's basically penniless, all alone in this big crumbling house, you know, with the relics of her high society life around her. And she starts investigating. She wants to figure out what was going on with her father, his mysterious friend, Mr. Hyde, for whom there is a reward. So she wants the money. She starts looking for Hyde because she needs the money. And along the way, she runs into a group of other women who all turn out to be the daughters of famously sinister scientists. And of course, these sinister scientists are up to no good, and they have to sort of uncover the secret of what was going on. And it's also wonderfully inventive. Like, the women in the book all kind of, they interrupt the narrative now and then as a Greek chorus, sort of commenting on the one of them who's been chosen to write the story, kind of a la The Breakfast Club, but the rest of them keep chiming in and commenting on how she's writing it. It's inventively written. It has wonderful characters. If you are a fan of taking classic mythologies and reworking them, this is definitely a fun read.
Okay, again, that's the Strange Case of the Alchemist's Daughter. You got a nice summer romance on your list?
Absolutely. I feel like I'm kind of my Anglophilia is showing here, because this is a series called London Celebrities. The most recent one is called Pretty Face. I love romance. Let's just put that right out there. I think people who know me know that. I don't generally like contemporary romance, but this sucked me in. It's set in the London theater world. It's about an actress who is amazingly named Lily Lamprey, and she's kind of a over-sexualized, dismissed as talentless TV actress, and she gets a part in a super prestigious theatrical production with a really big name director. And of course, he hates her on sight and sparks fly, but she's really, truly talented. And both of them have lots of growing to do. And of course, there's a happy ever after, like all good romances. And it's just a lot of fun.
There is something, and we should tell our listeners, we're going to have a full list on our website. You got a book on the more serious side you want to mention.
Yes, What We Lose by Zinzi Clemens. It's a quick read. It's a lot of short vignettes, a couple of pictures, but it's definitely not an easy read. Zinzi Clemens works a lot of her personal experiences into the story, which is about a young African-American woman who's dealing with intense grief after the death of her mother and sort of all the strange connections that that brings into her life, the links that she sees between grief and desire, the way that her mother is from South Africa, so the way that that history and culture mixes and sort of clashes sometimes with her father, who's American, and how she feels about that intersection, the way she feels about her relatively light skin and how it affects her relationships with darker skinned women in particular. And the writing is, again, the writing is just gorgeous. That's kind of been a theme for me this summer. And I think what really brought it home for me was just the way that she's writing about this very particular experience, a very specific person and a very specific set of experiences. But when you're reading it, it resonates in your heart. You know, when I was reading her writing about grief, and I was thinking, you know, this is really striking a chord, and I think it will strike a chord with all kinds of readers. So if you want some more emotional heft in your summer reading, this is a great choice.
And you also want to end with a sneak preview, I know. A couple books that aren't out yet, but you thought you should mention them just to give people a heads up.
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to my theme about women authors reworking classic mythologies, there's a book out at the end of July called Strange Practice by Vivian Shaw, which I just found utterly delightful. It is about the granddaughter of Dr. Van Helsing from the Dracula books, Greta Helsing, and she's a doctor in modern-day London who tends to the supernatural community there. So she's like, you know, curing ear infections and baby ghouls and all kinds of things like that, just as a general GP. For all the creepy crawlies, and she gets drawn into a supernatural plot, and there's like every literary vampire you can think of is in this book, and the way that they all mix and meld is so much fun. And then the final volume in N.K. Jemisin's Broken Earth trilogy is out in August. The first volume, the fifth season, won the Hugo Award in 2016 for best novel. This is an amazing, powerful, gorgeously written fantasy series about a world that suffers continual geological upheavals, and the caste system that's developed in this world between the people who can control the earth and the people who control the people who control the earth. The last one's called The Stone Sky. It's out in August. I highly recommend everything she has ever written, but this one's coming out in August, and you should go read it.
Petra, before we let you go, we want to ask you about NPR's Summer Readers Poll, which is asking listeners about their favorite comics and graphic novels. What's up with the genre that you're focusing on that?
Yeah, this is going to be so fun. This is the Summer Reader Polls we do every couple of years. The last one was romance a couple years ago. This year, I thought, why not comics and graphic novels? Because, well, I'm a giant nerd. I love comics. But it's also, there's so much good work out there right now that, I mean, it's an incredible time to be a comics fan. There's so many young creators coming up. There's so much classic material to read. There's interesting things happening with web comics. So what we did was, we polled our readers. We had 7,500 nominations. People wrote in about all their favorite comics. Mm-hmm. We sent it to an expert panel, including some really amazing people, our comics critics, Glenn Weldon and Atelka Lahotsky, Spike Trotman, a publisher with Iron Circus, who does amazing work, Maggie Thompson, who is Stephen Thompson of Pop Culture Happy Hour fame, his mother, she's a big name in comics, was an Eisner Award judge a couple years ago, and G. Willow Wilson, the current writer of Ms. Marvel. And together, all of us talked through these, you know, hundreds and hundreds of submissions and came up with a really great list of 100 comics that we think people will enjoy. That list will go live next Wednesday. That's the 12th of July, just ahead of San Diego Comic-Con, for all you nerds out there. And we think people will find lots to read and enjoy.
We've got a link to NPR's Summer Readers Poll at hereandnow.org and a list of all of Petra Mayer's book picks. Petra Mayer of NPR Books, thanks so much and happy 4th.
Thank you. Happy reading.